Robert Mallett here takes care of me. He watches after me when we go, and that's a full-time job. And then my wife Dot's beside him, and then Ken Cozart is the next one there. Ken will be talking. Ken's been going now for probably 20 years, I guess. I don't know. He does a great job down there, helps with the campaigns, both VBS and medical. You know, everybody has a fault. Ken's a Gator fan, so, you know, he went to the game yesterday and drove all the way back to get here for tonight. And the reason he went to the game, because he wanted to be sure that they didn't lose. So next to him is Randall Webb. Randall's been going, I don't know, about 5 years, I guess. Randall is, he's our chief recruiter. Every time Randall sees somebody, he tries to get them to go. We had a young lady this year visiting from Atlanta, and he met her at the door and started talking to her, and she goes to the Avondale congregation. He's got her going this year, and he's just done a super job. He's also from another place called Mississippi, and he's got people from Mississippi involved in the work. He got several going. We got a doctor going this year from Mississippi. His wife goes with him, and she loves the work. His brother-in-law, who some of you may know, David Payden, who preaches Lafayette, has been going now. This will be his third year. He and his wife Kelly, who's a nurse, and they're very excited. They got kind of blood almost like Kelly Heming does. The reason Kelly Heming wants to come back is, of course, she wants to go to football games too. So she won't stay down there. She'll have to come back to go to the football games. But these are our key people. Randall and Ken actually run the campaign while we're there. We had 107 last year, the biggest group we've ever had. My job is to get it organized and get all the plane tickets and get all the hotels and get everything done. And then we get down there when the work starts, and my job is to get out of the way and let them do the work. And they do an excellent job. He's hoping that's going to be true again this year. But anyway, this has been kind of an exciting year for Dot and I. In December, we went to Panama, and our plans were to make plans for what we're going to do this year. And I got sick while I was there. We stayed one day and came back. Some people picked us up in Atlanta and went straight to the hospital and found out that I had cancer in the lungs, and I had cancer surgery and had one of my lobes removed on January the 9th. And then 6 weeks later, I was cancer-free, according to the doctors, and after being home for 6 weeks. So they turned me loose. So the next day, then, I went to Nicaragua for the building campaign for preacher seminar that we had. I came back home for a couple of weeks, then Dot and I just got back last night from Panama doing what we're going to do in December before the cancer thing popped up. But we've got big plans this year. We just finished a building campaign there. We built a preacher's house in Nandami. I'm going to show you some pictures of the TISMA campaign last year, or the Congregation Youth Support, where we had the building campaign. Then the medical campaign last year was at TISMA, and Ken will talk about that. The work is going good there, and in Panama we had a 96 baptisms last year in Nicaragua, 98 in Panama. Almost 200 souls were saved, and that's the reason we go. We say we have a vacation Bible school campaign. We say we have evangelism camp. We have a VBS campaign, but every one of them is / evangelism. We have evangelism every night. We have speakers, and we baptized 20 during the campaign last year at TISMA. And that was exciting because that was a new congregation. Our preacher coordinator always had a dream of having a congregation in his hometown, and there was none there. So we went there, and one of the members of East Ridge gave us some money to build a building. We built a building, and then went back and had 107 people do a medical there. And we had 20 baptisms there. The VBS, or this year's medical, will be June the 15th to the 23rd. We have 88 right now, I guess, going on that campaign, leaving on June the 15th. to the 23rd. And then July the 5th to the 14th will be a group going to Panama for VBS. So we've already finished two campaigns. We had had all of our preachers together for one time during the building campaign. We had a preacher seminar, and we had five preachers from this area there to for 5 days to speak to the Nicaraguans, and we froze them to death. It's hot down there. They don't have air conditioning, but we had air conditioning turned on in the hotel, so they came in every day with their denim jackets on. They were about to freeze to death. They'd never been in a hotel like that. A funny thing kind of happened. I told the hotel people, I said, you bring us a jug of water and a pot of coffee for each one of the breaks. And they said, okay. Well, the first break came, and all we had was water and a pitcher of milk. In Nicaragua, they drink their coffee. It's very strong, so they're drinking half milk and half water. So the milk is always hot, because if you put a cold milk in a half a cup in, of course, it would cool it. So there was nothing there the first break. They didn't. And I asked the guy, he said, oh, we forgot the coffee. So the next break, I got up to get a cup of coffee, and the coffee was there. And I picked up the pitcher. I was the first one to pick up the pitcher, the milk pitcher, and it was empty. And I thought, there was no coffee. What happened to this? And I looked around, and all the preachers in their cups, they'd poured up, and they were drinking that hot milk. You know? So anyway, they weren't used to how we operate in the United States. But we did turn the area up a little bit, but we left it about 70, 72. But every one of them had a jacket on every day. But it was great to get them all together. And the first time I think we've ever had all 22 preachers there. We've got 22 congregations in Nicaragua, and we've got 10 in Panama. Okay, we'll start the slide show at this time. Show just a few pictures of the building campaign. Oh, I got to click it. Okay, this is the group that went down on the for the campaign. We had most of them from this area, and we had a couple from Ohio, but this was in the town of Tisma, and that's where we started the congregation. This was actually the start of it to build the building. This is what it looked like when we got there. We had bought a lot, and they had put a few of the forms up, but nothing else. So this is the empty lot there that where we constructed the building. And one of the big things that we got to do is we've got to take rebar and bend it and all to reinforce the concrete. So this is some of the members there. Kelly, there's the Tennessee cap on. Make you feel good. Well, the major component in Nicaragua that we use for building are these 120-pound lava rock. They go into a volcanic mountain, and they cut these out. You can actually see the saw marks on the edge of them there. Just like we saw lumber, they saw those things out, and they're very heavy. And depending on how strong you are, there's Robert up there at the truck getting ready to get one by himself, and then here's two normal people down here, each one of them carrying half of them at a time. But we take these, and that's the base of our foundation. They lay one flat all the way around, and then they'll put two more up on the edge, and then they'll use regular block after that. We own a mixer that we bought several years ago. Robert Mallett runs that mixer, and you can see the block we've got stacked around there and getting ready. There's some of the rebar there for the columns. You can see they're right in front. You probably recognize some of these people. One thing you notice in these pictures that the Nicaraguan people and Panama people too are most of them are short. So this is Guimero Hernandez, who's the preacher there. Guimero in English is William, so that's a lot easier to say than Guimero. You got to roll your tongue to say that. But this is there when we had the campaign. We went over there and they had an open house and a big celebration. Another thing they do in Nicaragua, if they have a wedding or open house, any kind of celebration, is they have a pinata. And they put this pinata on, you can see the rope there, and a pulley, And instead of doing like we do around here, a guy stands over here to the side, and every time they swing it, he pulls it up away from the kids. So they'll let all of them beat on it for about 10 minutes, and then they'll pop it, and those kids will dive in there for that candy like, you know, they haven't eaten in their life. Okay, this is what the building looks like now, the finished building. This is the crowd there that was gathering for the open house. We had a packed house. In fact, it was so full, most of us stayed outside while they had the ceremony there. But that's what it looks like, Iglesia de Cristo, which is Church of Christ, in Spanish. So this is the building there. What we do at the end of the campaign, the last day, we have all the 20 that were baptized, but we have them all in front, and we go by and everybody shakes their hand, we congratulate them, and we give them a Bible, and that's the process that you see going on here. This is during the baptism. You can see there it's a little bit crowded in that building, but that's the inside of the building, and that's everybody's crowded in there to see a baptism. Here are just some more people lined up. You recognize there's Ken, Brother Frizzell, and during that shaking everybody's hand. This, I want to show you this. This is Guimero there, and I went made my next trip down there, and he showed me what they were using to serve the Lord's Supper. On the right there is they made that, and it's made out of duct tape and a piece of cardboard, and that's what they were using. And he said, it's not big enough now. We need a bigger one. Could you help us? So I talked to one of the members at East Ridge, and they gave me the money, and we bought them a set. And I took down there and presented it to them. But it just shows that, you know, that what you can do if you need to do things, they do it. Nick Robert kind of reminds me of what I think of the United States might have been 100 years ago or so. But they make do with what they have, and do a good job in it. Here he is in front of the building. There's his motorcycle. That's one of the most common form of transportation down there. If you ride a bus, you walk, a bicycle, or motorcycle. You see very few cars. Most of the cars you see are taxis. And motorcycles, we coming down in 153, and this guy was zooming, trying to kill himself through, and that's about the way they drive down there. They have a motorcycle lane in the middle of all the two-lane roads, and it's the yellow line that goes down the middle. And they literally drive down there. Everybody else is driving, and they're driving down that yellow lane. And a lot of times when I'm down there, I'll see an accident where the motorcycles had an accident. But that is the best way to travel. Guimero, brother also has a brother David that also preaches at Las Flores. He's from a family of 19. They're all members at Messiah, and two of them are preachers, and another one's in preacher training school. Okay, that's the extent of what I have. I'll turn it over to Ken. I'd just like to say that we're so grateful for the support of this congregation. We have 12 congregations throughout the Southeast that support the 22 congregations we have there, and the 10 in Panama, the 32 congregations. We certainly can't do it ourselves, and we certainly appreciate the help of this congregation. We hope you'll continue to be involved in the work there. The people are very receptive. They're not like the people here. When you knock on the door, they slam the door in your face, but they will listen to you. And we have a lot of Bible studies, and we've been very successful in both Panama and Nicaragua. We hope you'll continue to be involved in the work there. Again, thank you very much, and I'll be around afterwards if you have any questions. Well, I'd be glad to try to get Randall or Ken to answer.
Ken Cozart, and I've lived here in Chattanooga since about 1993. I've been associated with mission work all over the world since I lived in Florida when I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and we moved to Georgia in the late 70s, early 80s, and then since I've been in Tennessee, mission work ranging from New Guinea to Australia to Thailand, London, many parts over in the Middle East. But the most that I've ever been involved in the country is in Central America. In the mid-70s, when I attended Forest Park down in Valdosta, Georgia, they were heavily involved in the mission work in Central America. And since I've been at East Ridge, we've also been involved in that. And it's been a very blessing, very great blessing for me to be involved in this work. I know a lot of people in this building. I recognize a few people when I came in. There's a few people that actually grew up at East Ridge. A few people that I knew from when we attended Red Bank several years ago. And it's a pleasure to see everyone, and we do appreciate the opportunity to come here and to present this work to you. If we can go ahead and start the video, I'll be making some comments along the way during the video. This video was made by one of our people who attended this year for the first time, and he was from Michigan. His name is Brandon Halt, and he wanted to go back and share what he had went through and the experience that he had and the results that we had with the people there, and he made a video. And when I saw the video and Alan saw the video, we thought this is perfect to kind of, you know, reach out and show other people exactly you know, what the work is about down there. So we'll go ahead and start that video. Of course, this is us coming into Nicaragua. A bunch of us meet in Atlanta, and we all fly to Nicaragua. This is our preacher, Charlie Cochran, leading a prayer. We always start off our campaign with a prayer. When we first get on the site, wherever we're going to do the medical campaign at, we'll immediately get organized and how we want to set up each station. We'll go through, and we've got a station for just about everything that we're going to do. We'll get there, and we'll go ahead and bag up rice and beans to be handed out in our benevolent station. This is them bagging rice and beans. I can't remember. I think we had 5,000 pounds of rice and about 2,000 or 3,000 pounds of beans that we bagged up and distributed. These are the people as they come in the next morning and they line up out in the line. This is Abby Sewell. She's one of the people that was handling our registration. This right here is one of our evangelism meetings at night. This right here is a guy that he went out in the street and tried to hand some stuff out and just about got mugged in a fun way. I mean, you know, this is some of the housing that's there and the modern housing that they live in. And these are some of the people that went out and were teaching the word in the homes, doing the evangelism, and inviting people back to our evangelism meeting that night. Some of you might recognize him from Red Bank. But like I said, our main focus is evangelism and trying to reach out to as many people as we can and to help the needy. This right here is what the line looked like after just 2 or 3 hours there that morning. And if you can see, that's the bus back there way in the back, and that, the line goes down way beyond that bus just to get into the clinic that day. We try to see as many people as we can during the day, and a lot of the people that we've got working with us in our clinic, they have been coming back year after year after year, and so we're able to kind of stay organized. When they go into the clinic, they'll register first. We have people that are in the registration line that can speak Spanish, ask them the kind of questions that they, you know, we need to find out about. You know, what kind of medical attention that they need, you know, some history about their medical, which most of them don't have any history, to be honest with you. But, you know, specifically, this is Shelby Forrest now, is it? Yeah, she used to be, that's Alan's granddaughter. She just got married, and she's in registration also. Like I said, some additional pictures of the registration line and us arriving on the second morning. We do the medical clinic for 4 days, from 8 o'clock in the morning until 4 or 5 in the evening, straight through. And we don't stop, except maybe take a little break for lunch or whatever. But most of the time, we're still moving people through the clinic. And our goal is to see as many people. And this is going into the clinic. When we first get in there, everybody will kind of go ahead and set up their medical stations and everything. Brandon was trying to show the people, you know, how we, when we get there, when we start right to work, and how we get organized and everything. This is some more pictures of some of the studies that are being, well, actually, this is when the evangelism team is breaking out in the morning to go out and study in the homes. Once again, there's some additional home studies that are being done with the people and going straight to them. This is why we're there. Baptize as many as we can. This is some of the people that were baptized after the first couple of days. For a lot of kids, they wouldn't even want to play with toys like that, but this meant a lot to these little kids because they don't have toys to play with, and they would play with them for hours and hours and hours. Very poor people, but happy people. And a lot of them don't know that they're poor. If that makes sense, you know, they really don't know that they're poor. And when they come in and they see us and what we do, this is one of our classes that are during our evangelism meeting at night. They look at you and they go, "Why are you here? What's going on? Why are you here?" And then they immediately warm up to us, and it just becomes a great experience. We have during our evangelism meeting, every night we had over 100 kids just in a little room. And it's just children. And then over in the big building, we averaged between 100 to 150. And I think on the last night we had around 300 that attended the evangelism meeting. You can see how full the building is. This is the same building that we use as the clinic. We turn around and we will set up the clinic during the day, and then we turn around and turn it into a place to have the evangelism meeting at night. Once again, this is the fourth day, and you can see everybody's doing everything they can to try to get in so that they can see a doctor. These are some of our doctor stations. We're always trying to look. This past year, this was the first year we actually had a physical therapist there too. But we're always trying to find as many doctors, nurses, dentists, anybody in the medical field, anybody else that wants to hand out. These are a lot of the clothes that we bring down. We brought down 65 duffel bags full of clothes and handed out every one of them. We have several congregations that put together clothing, and we hand out everything that we can to help these people. And we have a group that will separate the clothing out by size, and then as the people come through the line, they give them a bag of clothing. This right here is some of our guys in maintenance. That's Charles Abels right there. He's over our maintenance, and they keep everybody with water. We have to stay hydrated. I think we went through approximately 160 gallons of water, just the people there that were working from the United States. This is our hygiene. You might recognize a couple of these people. He just came from the glasses department. but this is our pharmacy. We have approximately 12 people that work in pharmacy. This is eyeglasses. We gave out 700-800 pair. I've got the stats here in the end of my PowerPoint here in just a minute. But we give out as many of the glasses. We can't give out prescription glasses, but we can give out reading glasses and stuff like that. This is Michael Sewell, and he is everybody that goes in will wear a band, and that way we know who's going in. This young man right here, that's Brandon Hall, the man that did the video. Once again, more people that we meet out there while trying to get into the clinic. These are a couple of the, I believe those are some of the preachers or bus workers, something like that. You know, some of the young kids. This is the last night when everybody that was baptized came up to the front. And then this right here is the last night in the church building where we had the baptism as we closed out the evangelism. The young man, like I said, right here to the left, that's Brandon Hodd. And that was the first time that he had attended. And this is his video. But I think the message that he tries to send is a very, very, very good message. It meant a lot to him going on this first trip, and enough to where he made this video himself so he could share with everybody that he could. We'll go over these. These are our final numbers from our campaign this year, and we'll go over with them here. This is from inside of one of the Catholic churches that's there. Of course, you know, Catholicism is the main religion down in Central America. But this is one of the beautiful lakes, the volcano lakes that's there. It's called Catarina. And then the last day that we're there before we come back to the United States, we always try to have a little fun. And so last year I took a group up to one of the volcanoes and we did a little zip lining through the trees. And there are actual monkeys that are there in the trees, but when our people are going through the trees, I can't tell the difference between the monkeys and the people. But we always have a great time. Next, I'm going to show you a few slides that I've picked out. I told Kelly I was going to pick on her a little bit. So I just wanted a few slides that I wanted to show you. And these are really just some slides of some people doing some of the work during the campaign. Over the years, I know Alan's got more than this. Alan's been doing this close to, 30 years, Alan? 25. He's probably got literally 100,000 pictures of the campaigns, and I've got a lot too. And the pictures that we have are always the treasures that we have of the memories. So if you want to go ahead and start here we go. Of course, we're involved in the work in Panama. Alan told you he just got back from Panama, and Nicaragua is the place where we went and did our campaign in Tisma last year. This is the group that left from Chattanooga. There's 28 of us, and as we got ready to depart the airport here in Chattanooga, this was the group. Of course, you recognize the Friedels and Kelly. I hadn't seen them. Are the Friedels here tonight?
They went to Big Ridge, and he is presenting some.
Okay. Great, great. Well, that's awesome. Like I said, they were all three very hard workers and had a lot going on. This is, like I said earlier, this is where when we first get there, everybody breaks out in groups and bags beans and rice. Of course, this is Travis and Abby both jump right in and help bag the beans and rice. This is one of the lines you know that was forming outside as we first started the clinic. I showed you that because it kind of looks orderly right there at the front. And the only reason why it looks orderly right there at the front is because we've got some they call us gringos. So we got some mean gringos right there trying to keep everybody in line. So say, you know, stay in line or you can't get in, which we don't do that. We'll let anybody in. But then if you look down the line, it doesn't stay orderly very long because that's what it looks like after a while. They don't believe in trash cans there. The ground's their trash can. But they have been doing better. And this is some more people that are in the line. The children there are beautiful. And they always have a smile on their face, and it's always neat to be able to take pictures of the beautiful people there. This lady right here, when we brought her in, the reason why she looked so grumpy, she felt bad. She had a very high fever, and we were trying to get her fever down and everything. And that lady right there, Karen, she's, you know, taking her vitals and everything and trying to see if her fever's dropping off. This right here is Karen, who actually is crying because that lady right there, and I'll tell you the story behind her in just a minute, but she was just told her, thank you for coming. You don't have to do anything else for me. I just want to thank you. And it just touched her heart, and she just broke down and just cried. And all these things touch you. And this lady right here, in just a minute, we brought her a wheelchair. And the look on her face was like, something that, you know, you would see for the first time of a child getting up at Christmas time. Just amazing. And the reason why is this. Many years ago, this lady, she broke her ankle. And she never had anything at all except a stick to walk around with. And she would struggle around. Her ankle can't be repaired unless they do surgery on it, and that's impossible there in Nicaragua. So her ankle grew back like that. But because of and it's not really a wheelchair, it's more like one of those walking assist chairs. But because of that, it allowed her to keep her balance, and she was able to just go right on down the street. And so this is the kind of things right here that are very rewarding to us, and the fact that it touched this lady so much, and we were able to help her. Like I said, without that wheelchair thing that we gave her there, she was struggling, couldn't keep her balance, barely able to walk. And then this way, she was able to scoot right on down the street, just like really, honestly, just like there was nothing wrong with that foot and that ankle. This is our director of pharmacy. Some of you guys may know him. His name is Jeremy Hicks. And the reason why I did that is because Jeremy does count a lot of pills, and after a while it gets to him. So, and of course, we send in our superheroes to try to rescue people from Jeremy. Now, we always have a little fun on the trips, and we always have a superhero day, and this is some of our people this guy right here, some of you guys may recognize him, Terry Horton. He's, you know, don't tell him I gave his disguise away, but Terry, he always likes to dress up. We just have a good time, and the kids, they look at us like, wow, you know, look at all this, and it's just a good time to have with the people. This right here, of course, there's Abby. Abby worked with one of our medical teams and did a great job, and she was a scribe and worked with one of our doctors, and she did a really good job. This right here, this lady, she doesn't have any legs. And this is her son, and she's in a wheelchair, but, you know, she came in, and she really, other than not having legs, she was in really pretty good shape. But her son had some issues, and the doctors tried to help him out. This little boy right here, he had just left the clinic. He had been running a fever. This little girl right here, she just was adorable, and I think somebody gave her a little flower or whatever, but once again, some of the beautiful children that are over there. These are some of the kids. They're out there waiting to see a doctor, and they love to get their picture taken and love to express how much that they appreciate us being there. This is one of our other workers who is taking care of one of the little kids. We always try to see the local law enforcement people. They come through, want to go through the clinic. You'd think that if you're in law enforcement there, you'd have a health and dental plan, right? Now, they always try to come through, too, and get as much as, you know, help as they can, too. This young lady right here, she was baptized, the last night, and that's somebody that's, what is her name? Some of you may recognize her. I cannot think of her name. Yeah, Mill Irons, yeah. Yeah, Sheila Mill Irons, yeah. And Sheila had been studying with her and everything, and we saw her baptized the last night. This is one of our doctors and holding one of the children. He always says that he's going to, he already has three girls, and he says that he's going to bring back four or five from each trip. And his wife says, that's fine. If you can get them home, bring them home. This is some of the people playing out in the street with the kids. This is our some of our custom-made dresses. We have several congregations, our ladies from Eastridge, from Fort Oglethorpe, and several congregations that make handmade clothing to hand out to all the kids. A lot of the handout clothing is given out during our vacation Bible schools, but we also try to give out as much as possible during the mission trips. And we do boys and girls dresses up to teens. Can't see real well. That's Kelly. I think she was attempting to try to tell everybody to brush their teeth. Yeah, that's what she's doing. I don't know if Kelly can say toothbrush in Spanish. This right here is Kelly, and she's trying to say that's what the teeth of a Tennessee player or Tennessee fan looks like after they win a football game. I thought that was kind of neat, but you know, that's. But anyhow, Kelly helped work with our hygiene last year, and she did a great job. And I know she probably may want to do that again this year or whatever. She's been around enough where if she wants to move around and do different things every year, that's fine. But this is the ladies working in hygiene. I mean, they don't teach hygiene in school. I don't know what they try to teach the basics in school, but we come up there and we try to help them to understand what's important, to take care of themselves, take care of the body that God gave them, and they leave. Baptized up to that, and we gave them a Bible. After this, we had I think it was three or four more baptisms. We ended up close, a little over 20. That's just an adorable picture. You can't, there's no way to describe that other than it's just a beautiful young baby being held by a beautiful young lady. So, and of course, this is the picture that Alan showed earlier of. Travis and Abby and Kelly with the preacher there from Tisma. This is the picture of our last night. This is our whole group, 107 people who participated in the medical this year. And as you can see, it's a good size group, but it was a great group, and we really were able to accomplish a lot. We had 2,157 patients go through in 4 days through registration. 2,130 received triage, 2,142 saw a medical doctor. We had 111 that saw the dentist. And basically the dentist, we have a dentist and a hygienist go, and basically the dentist, what he does is he just pulls teeth. You know, that's about all he can do. Pharmacy, somehow I got it. How do I turn it back on? Can you turn that back on for me? Okay, he's kidding. We had 7,500 prescriptions that were written. Here we go. 686 pair of eyeglasses given out. 1,970 attended the hygiene teaching. 1,976 were given clothing and beans and rice. 760 people were given the special handmade clothes. We used 160 gallons of water. In other words, we didn't give water away, we drank it. This is what the 107 people drank over 4 days. And then, of course, we had the 20 baptisms, plus I think they had some additional baptisms after we left. So we just want to thank you so much for your support and the prayers that the congregation here offers. We thank you for the people that you send our way to work with us in these campaigns. We're so thankful that we get the opportunity to go to another country and share the Word of God with people that are very receptive. There's a lot of places that you might be familiar with where we send missionaries, and it's very, very hard to convert the people. Russia is one of those places. But, you know, you never give up. You never give up. You never quit. Down in Central America, we're very fortunate in the fact that we're able to do reach out to a lot of people with less money. It's not as expensive to go to a place like Central America as it would be to China or Russia or something like that. But it allows us the opportunity to teach as many people as possible. And, you know, it really doesn't matter where you are in the world. You know, whether you're in Thailand, whether you're in Australia, whether you're in Central America and Panama, whether you're in the United States, the Word of God is for all men. God sent His Son Jesus so that we might have hope of eternal life with Him. And the news that we share with people, whether we're here at home or we're over in another country, is a wonderful, wonderful, great news that we have to share with others. There's a saying that I've got. It says, a rock will not stop somebody, but a bunch together will build a wall. In Psalms chapter 19 and chapter 18, verse 2, it says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Every person in here is a rock for the Lord. Together we build the wall to keep Satan out. And no matter where we're at, no matter what country we're at, we convert those so that they can become rocks to keep Satan out. The good news is that we all have the opportunity to become Christians. Tonight, maybe you haven't had that opportunity to become a Christian. Or maybe you have become a Christian and you've fallen away from your first love. The invitation, we always take the opportunity to offer the invitation for those who might need it. So if the invitation is open to you, will you come as we stand and we sing at this time?
Me to be, may I devote my life wholly to Thee. Watch Thou my wayward feet, guide me with counsel sweet, purer in heart. Help me to be purer in heart, O God. Help me to be. Teach me to do Thy will most lovingly. Be Thou my friend and guide. Let me with Thee abide, purer in heart. To be purer in heart, O God, help me to be, that I Thy holy face one day may see. From secret sin, reign Thou my soul within, pure. Next song, we number 495. Maybe those present who have not had the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper on this Lord's Day, if you are of that number, while we sing this song, you may be dismissed, but George Farmer will see to it that you are served. 495. Sing the first verse, and we'll have some closing comments and a dismissal prayer. 495. Oh, the depth and the riches of God's saving grace, flowing down from the cross for me. There the debt for my sins by the Savior was paid in his suffering on Calvary. Oh, the depth of such wonderful love, flowing boundless and full and free. And the debt for my sins was all paid in the suffering on Calvary.
We have just a couple of announcements, and then Brother Tom Greer will be leading us in our dismissal prayer. Remember, tomorrow Nancy Knave's mother's funeral is going to be in Crossville at the Bilbrey Funeral Home at 1 o'clock, that central time. And so I'm sure that if possible, Nancy would appreciate some support there, and we certainly offer our sympathy to Nancy and her family at this time. Also, I've been ordered to announce Bethel Singing is Friday night. And so I know many of us go to Bethel for the singing and for the wonderful food they have following the singing. So if you can, Bethel Singing, if you enjoy singing, I know that you'll enjoy that. Speaking of the work in Nicaragua, this year we have four people going. Of course, Kelly is going back. Travis is returning. This year we have joined them Gail Elsie and also Tommy Qualls. And so we're very happy that these are going this year. Also, just for your information, and I'm sure that this has been announced before, through your generosity of the North Hamilton, we are paying the salary of the minister there in Tisma, which is, and we're glad to do that, and we're glad of the good work being done there. At this time, Brother Tom will lead us in dismissal prayer.
Bow with me, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you as always for this opportunity to come here, listen to the God's words that we've heard today, go to the classes, sing these songs that'll be uplifting to us all. We especially thank for this opportunity we've had tonight to hear about the things that are going on in Nicaragua. And we need visual effects and so forth to understand. It's very helpful to us, and we thank you greatly for these people who have come, these men who have come and showed us the true nature of what's being done and the good that's being done there by this congregation and other congregations. We appreciate that greatly, and we thank you for everything that you do for us. We hope that that these things that are going on in Nicaragua and other places throughout the world will be helpful in spreading the gospel, and we know they will. We thank you for this opportunity. Pray with us that you will go with us the remainder of this week, and may each of us come to a better knowledge of the truth. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen.